being faithful to your church and being faithful to the ministry here at Dolan Baptist and your pastor Mike Nix. It's good to know, it's comforting for me to know that I'm not in control of any aspect of my life. I prefer to go verse by verse through passages, but whenever I do a topical study, it's really some things about what I'm listening to and what I'm reading on my own. And I just listened to a lot and hearing a lot of things about heaven recently. And what have we been singing about through most of our songs this morning? Heaven. The song we just finished on. So just more evidence that, thank the Lord, I am not in control of this. For our scripture reading this morning, to introduce the topic, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Verses 4 through 11. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Then Elisha said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could walk over on the dry land. And when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you for the anticipation of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that this home is not, this world is not our home. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven, to serve you as evidence of our service for you here on this earth. Lord, as we search your scriptures more about this topic, we pray that we're encouraged, that we draw closer to you, that your saints are edified, and if there are people here in this audience right now who do not know you, know your Son as the Lord of their life, that they will yield to him, they will come to him through faith and repentance. In your Son's mighty name we pray. Amen. Heaven is a popular and a very encouraging subject. Some hymns that we're all familiar with just speak of this several times. For example, when the roll is called up yonder, the last line says, "Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Also, another favorite from the old rugged cross says, "To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." And probably the most popular hymn in all of Christianity. Amazing Grace, the last verse says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as a sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Just hearing those hymns and singing those, reading those words warms our heart and encourages us. So this morning we're going to examine scriptural truths of our heavenly home. Scriptural truths from our heavenly home. First thing we're going to look at is about heaven. Heaven is where God is. Heaven is where God is. Let's turn to the Psalm. Psalm 11, verse 4. Psalm 11:4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. Also, Psalm chapter 20, verse 6 says, now I know that the Lord has saved his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven. Heaven, we're not saying that God is only in heaven. God is everywhere. God is, the doctrine says, omnipotent. He is here in this room. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But his center of operations, John MacArthur just says, helps us by saying, to say that God dwells in heaven is not to say that he is contained there, but is uniquely his home, his center of operations, his command post. It is the place where his throne resides, and it is where the most perfect worship of him occurs. In that sense, we are saying that it is his dwelling place. Since it is God's dwelling place, it is more magnificent than we can ever comprehend. We have minds that are carnal. We have minds that are not perfect. We have minds and we have bodies that are stained with sin, even if we're a believer in Christ. We still struggle with sin every day. Because of that, we can never understand the fullness of the glory of heaven. But still, we still try. And we still hope. Knowing that what we think about it and our expectations of it on this side of eternity will just be magnified to point to what we will never understand. And we'll be thanking the Lord in that heaven forever because of it. Paul said that whenever he was in heaven, it was unlawful for him to say about what it was like. We will not understand. We will not comprehend it. So heaven is where the Lord is. It is where his throne is. But it is also where believers who have fallen asleep are. It is also where believers have fallen asleep are. Turn to John 11, if you would. John 11, 11. I received notice Friday of someone I used to work with. I used to work at the... I went to Sam Houston State and to pay for school. I worked at the YMCA in Conroe, and a man who always worked opened up. He had the early shift. He was there about 5:30 or 6 during the week, and he pastored a church in Montgomery. His name was Bobby Frazier. He was also in charge of the Christian homeschool organization in the Conroe area. Passed away from cancer on Friday. But because of his love for the Lord, because of his devotion to him, because of the times that he even talked with me and discipled me, I know that his death, that we would consider death, according to the scriptures, is just a rest. It is him falling asleep. If you know people who have died and they are believers, they had the Lord Jesus in their life, they were yielded to him, their lives manifested that. Folks, it's just like going to bed when you're really tired. It's real. You know, sometimes we've been doing a lot of moving, and we've been doing a lot of remodeling, working on property and everything. And you know, sometimes, guys, whenever you work really hard outside, you start at 8, you finish at 8 at night, and you've been working on the cutting grass, and you've been working on tearing down these brushes and these limbs and putting them in the burn pile, doing all this stuff, and you're tired. And whenever you put your head on that pillow, you're out. It's that type. That's just a small example of rest, a sleep, that when people pass away, they are asleep. Their bodies are asleep. But instantly, they are in the presence of the Lord. John 11:11. John 11:11 says, After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." His disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Here we see an example of that the Lord, Jesus, is the one who, if someone is to, in this case, we all know the story of Lazarus, that he is the one who's in control of life and death. But Lazarus was asleep. You know that the last time in the New, I heard this from David Jeremiah, the last time that the word death is applied to believers is at the cross. And the rest is in the Gospels. Every other time in the rest of the New Testament that death is referred to as people who were believers who were dying, it talks about them falling asleep. Falling asleep. First Thessalonians 4:13. First Thessalonians 4:13 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with them those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of the Lord. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. And we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, remember with one another these words." Not only is those who are asleep, they are worshiping the Lord right now, but they will have a chance, according to the text that we just read, to be with their bodies again. And theologians have tried to figure out if people for years, and no one will probably understand how it is that a person's body can still be here on this earth, and yet their substance, who they are, their identity, is still in heaven. See, if people pass away now, if someone was to pass away from this congregation, you know what? They will be able to know who Bobby Frazier was, even though they might not have ever met him. You will be able to know who George Whitfield was, who Charles Spurgeon was, who Augustine was, saints from centuries ago who passed away. You'll be able to know who King David was. You'll be able to see Timothy. You'll know them the minute you see them. How is it that can happen when their bodies are still here? We don't know. We don't understand. But that's part of the glory of Scripture. That's part of the proof that God wrote the Scriptures. They are in heaven, glorifying them, glorifying the Lord, focused on him, worshiping and adoring him. Adrian Rogers says that death is only a comma to a Christian, not a period. So we know that God, that heaven is where God's throne is. Heaven as well is where those who have died, who are asleep on this earth, are at this very moment. But as well, heaven is where you cannot get to without God's help. You cannot get to heaven without God's help. Just listen to these verses. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these are the like. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4 and 5 says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexual immorality or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of Christ and God. Becoming a Christian, becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding your life to Him, is not only about going to heaven. It's not only about the retirement plan that of a believer. It is about honoring and glorifying the Lord here as well as in heaven. It's about a change in your life that is manifested here. Adrian Rogers, before he passed away, he said that whenever either death came to him or the rapture happened, he hoped that the transformation to become to be in God's image, to be perfect in God's sight, wouldn't be that much of a difference. Because here on the earth, he had become so godlike, so Christ-like, that it wouldn't be that much of a change. That's a great goal. It's a great statement of sanctification, of wanting to honor the Lord to where when we're like Him, because of Him being in us and us denying ourselves and us filling ourselves with the Word and us yielding our lives to the Word, constantly fighting against the sin every day that we struggle against, we're more like Him. David Brainerd was a missionary to the Indians in the time of Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s. He said, it is impossible for any creature to be happy without acting all for God. God Himself cannot make him happy any other way. I long to be in heaven, praising and glorifying God with the holy angels. All my desire is to glorify God. My heart goes on to the burying place, the place of his grave. It seems to be a desirable place, but oh, to glorify God. That is it. That is above all. George Whitefield, when he would preach in England or in America, he would say before it, several times in his sermons, you must be born again. And there was one time a lady came up to him in the New England area and asked him, Mr. Whitefield, why is it you keep saying, every time I've heard you, you've said you must be born again. Why do you keep saying that? Because, young lady, ye must be born again. Mr. Whitefield was quoting John 3:3, we can't make it on our own. Our natures now cannot go to heaven. We have to be transformed. We have to have a change. Ezekiel talks about our heart of stone being transformed into a heart of flesh. This is called being born again, having a new nature. We grow in God's likeness and grow and become more like Him. There could be people here who have not done that. You must be born again. Not just to quote George Whitefield, but to quote the Lord. Look at your life. The scriptures never talk about looking back. Look at your life right now. Summarize your life by looking at the Ten Commandments. Has there ever been a time, as was said in the children's message, has there ever been a time where you've lied, where you've disobeyed your parents, where anything has been stolen, you've taken anything, cheated on tests? If those things have happened in your life, you've fallen short of God's standard. Therefore, you've offended a holy God. You have to be born again. You have to have His nature come into you. Look at your life now. Is it a life that honors the Lord? Is it a life that is wanting to honor Him in every aspect? Not just on Sunday mornings, but the way that we drive our cars, the way we're in school, the way we are in our vocation, wanting to honor and glorify the Lord. Check our lives. Look at our lives. There might be a time. There could be a case. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we are to check ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And let this be a time. This message about heaven, not just to focus on heaven about wanting to go there someday, but about wanting to be transformed now to where when that day of heaven comes, whether it's through the rapture or through death, as Dr. Rogers said, that our life is so godlike now that it would be a quick, a easy transformation to be ushered into the glory of God's eternal presence. Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes I get nervous. Sometimes I just go faster, it seems like. But it seems like the time has just flown by. But Lord, I pray that your word has been delivered. We pray, Lord, that you will take this word and apply it to each one of our hearts in ways that you see fit. For some of us, Lord, it'll be encouragement to know that people in our families who have died, people in this congregation who might have passed away, are with you. Lord, it might be times of encouragement to know that my own life, I will go to heaven one day because of the fact that I have placed my faith and trust of every aspect of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, there may be some of us who look at their lives and say, I'm not going to heaven. If something were to happen to me, if I were to pass away, I wouldn't go to heaven. I look at my life and I see those sayings that were in Galatians and Ephesians. They are evident. They are prevalent. They are the pattern of my life. May at this time, may there be repentance of that life and faith in your Son. The great exchange to where they will be justified in your sight because of that action. Work your work in our hearts and in our lives, even at this very moment. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.